I'd like to call to order the regular meeting for Town of Brule, Monday, March the 9th, 2020. Mr. Daigle, can you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Daigle?
Here.
Councilmember Bujwa?
Here.
Councilmember Richard? Councilmember Andre?
Here.
Councilmember Niesler?
Here.
Attorney Acosta?
Here.
Mayor Rhodes?
Here. Recognitions and commendations. I do have a recognition, but I'll talk about it in my mayor's report. Approval of minutes, regular meeting, February 10th, 2020. That should be in your package. I'm not aware of any changes. Do I have a motion to accept our minutes? Moved by Mr. Andre, second by Ms. Bujwa. Any comments from the audience? Any comments from the council? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Committee reports, Recreation Committee. Discuss design options for a park on East Main and Levee Trailhead. Mr. Tipton's here, representing Tipton and Associates, and you have a package in front of you that also has the plan that's going to show up on the screen. This is a recommendation that we had from the council, from our little committee that we put together, and kind of want to present it to you guys and get your opinion and see if we can move forward. Mr. Tipton?
Mayor, do you want to acknowledge who all served on the committee?
Yeah, I can. Let's see, it was Shane Andre, Ms. Bujwa, Joanne Bujwa, myself, Anatole Vincent, who is our recreation department guy for the parish, Drew Macy from Sinclair, or Harry Laws, I'm not sure how they go now, and Warren Lejeune, who works for the school board. So some people live in here and some people living out of here, so I thought we had a good committee and some good discussion.
It's been a great committee and wonderful discussion. We'll try to give you just a brief outline of what some of that conversation was. We began by trying to assess what needs were. The words here represent what the group identified as we began to think about a master plan for this facility. That's great. That we can begin to quantify what it is we were trying to accomplish. So you see some of that basic definition there. A lot of that would be, easy for us to grasp right out of the top of the note. As we go to the next sheet, there's some things that become important, not only in terms of what we need to accomplish or need to build or need to facilitate, but what is it that we want to do? Why does this matter? What's important? What's significant about it? And so we began to talk about what we might host here in terms of celebrations, what it might mean long-term as Brule becomes the center of this Levee Trail, what people might experience, how people might experience, and what it might mean for our community in terms of exercise and healthy living. And then some things that we need to be able to maintain this without a lot of fuss and resources. And there were certainly some things that we want to avoid. And then the last piece here, how do we do this? What was the process like? We met, I believe, four separate occasions. We assessed what we needed. We looked at options at different scales. And what you see or will see tonight is the outcome of that process. So we have uncovered or rolled over a lot of rocks, as it were, to look at options. And based on the committee's feedback, believe we're bringing you the best that we know to suggest in terms of how to develop the property. And so what you're looking at here really is three separate pieces of property. Three you already own, two that face Julian Street, one that faces Borg that has frontage there. The triangular piece of property from River Road to Main Street, and then a piece of property that's currently right of way for Borg Street that connects all those pieces together. So that's what you're looking at in terms of the planning area that we began to address. We did some homework, thanks to Ms. Bujwa. And what you see overlaid here is the original plan for the town of Brule back in the 1800s. Obviously, there was no levee at the time. And what you see in that dashed yellow square was to be a town park. So you are forethinking or reconnecting with thinking that happened long time before any of us were ever here. The need to have a park, a community space on the river, and something that can highlight the community and where the community can gather. And then as you look at what's already been developed with the levee trail, the access to that, the bike share area, and what does that mean? And how do we begin to stitch all these pieces together so it's one contiguous development, not a series of pieces and parts? And that was part of the challenge and part of the option assessment that we went through with the team. We're going to go in a minute to kind of look at the plan and then show you some precedent images, but are there any questions that might come from just some of the background information? All right, let's take a look at what the framework plan for the plan is. So everybody's with me, Main Street and River Road. This is that triangular piece of property here. And then the L-shaped configuration, again, one property with frontage on Borg and two with frontage on Julian. What we're looking at here is a series of pieces, and they all come together to really tell a main story. The main feature being an open community lawn, something that is roughly 60 feet wide and is unencumbered. What we want to do is create as much flexibility there as possible to allow you to host events, but also to act and work in an informal sequence for recreation purposes and that sort of thing. So the less development there, the better in terms of being able to use an open lawn area. It is anchored, if you want to talk about it that way, with a pavilion on the riverside. That pavilion has a number of features. One are some restrooms. Especially for those using the river trail and the park, the need for restroom access, its ability to shade bikes, and its ability to act as a performance pavilion when it's appropriate for this entire lawn. So it becomes the visual feature as you drive down Main Street, but it also anchors the development of the park, especially for community-oriented events. So what you see now is an open pavilion with some bikes parked underneath this edge. If you had a larger event, the bikes could clearly be moved out and create a larger access area. Yes, sir?
What are the red dots?
The red dots are actually people. We're trying to give you a sense of scale of... So you can see it doesn't look crowded. We could put several hundred people here and feel completely comfortable in the space that you have in terms of an event, a party, a community type activity. Does that make sense? The other piece, the other zone here, has a number of features. As we began to talk as a group, looking at parking development, off-street parking, 90-degree head-in parking, two social pavilions scaled much smaller. So if you want to think about a birthday party or just a small social gathering, you don't have to do it in a wide open pavilion, something that's more to scale, more residential, more conversant in terms of its development. What we're calling a barking lot, an area for dogs that would have accommodations for them, and so we wouldn't be using the rest of the property for things that the dogs might need to take care of here at the barking lot. And then the real important piece here is the ability to tell a story as we go, and so we're calling this a legacy promenade. You see a number of features identified both in low walls and markers, but also water and flags. And so a chance for you to tell a story as people leave their car and migrate toward the river. We can tell a story of the property, we can tell a story of the community, but it becomes an educational component as well. And then last, you see how the park really then connects and becomes an integral part of the Levee Trail. So as folks might leave the trail, they drop you right into the feature component of the park. Or if you're actually using your automobile to come, you progress through the Legacy Promenade and right up into the River Road or the Levee Trail. So I've driven a little quickly, but there may be some questions on this, and other members of the committee may have some things that they would like to address before we look at some precedent images. Questions?
Do we take consideration just to make sure where the pavilion is going to be located? That doesn't impede traffic from the standpoint of a visual aspect when they reach the end where it terminates? They can still see right, they won't have a big structure there?
Yes, sir. We're well out of the right-of-way River Road at this point.
Okay.
And would be on the edge of the right-of-way for Main Street. So as you're coming to this intersection, you're well outside of the view angle for any traffic, oncoming traffic.
And that thing could slide possibly, you know, we felt.
And we did talk about whether that pavilion should be there or over here where the tulip structures are. And I think we said that if we didn't want to put it where the two small structures are situated, because if there was an activity involving music or something like that, even though it was shut down at 10 or whatever time is designated, there would still be noise that would be going toward more toward residential.
And give us the whole enough of the property to face anything we would do under that.
The mayor and I were talking earlier, and I just ride by and take a look. It looks long and skinny because it really is. The property is only 60 feet wide, but the view from here to here is immediate. There's not a real challenge in terms of that kind of distance, especially if we can get you a little bit of an elevation on that pavilion for a performance or an activity of that nature. The other nice piece here in this position, as you drive down Main Street, you get a very visual impact out of that facility, and it becomes a bit of an icon in terms of how the community develops in the future.
So it looks like I'm assuming there was some thought as well for the committee on the sun setting, and then it would basically set, I guess, towards where the parked cars are. That would be a benefit to those attending something too. I think that's.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was taken into consideration, but it seemed like that worked out well.
Well, it works well for an evening event, I guess, unless you might be the person standing there. That's might good. Be a little bit of a challenge. So the broadest possible overhang there, and then everybody else is looking away from the setting sun.
Did y'all talk about lighting or security cameras in?
Yes, sir. We've had some preliminary lighting conversations and how to keep this a pedestrian scale light and yet provide an even level of illumination, something that fits a neighborhood scale as opposed to getting it up too high. It starts to look and feel commercial, which would really not fit well in the neighborhood here. So there are some precedent images. Again, underscore the term precedent. We're just trying to create some visual references to how this might want to develop in the future. So the pavilion being something very open, multi-use, very flexible. You could certainly see farmers markets, you could see informal events and activities, but you could also see hosting larger community festivals and activities here. The next sheet gives you a sense of scale of what these social pavilions might be. So you notice they're much smaller, much more intimate, much more conducive to one-on-one conversation or small birthday parties, that sort of thing. Yes, sir, you had a question.
It's like you got the northeast corner of the pavilion anchored with restaurant. Do you give any thought to security and those kind of concerns? That kind of thing there?
Obviously, we'll need security for restrooms wherever they go. The thought being on headed toward the river, those that use the levee trail are probably going to be looking for a respite, as it were. Rather than drag that traffic deep into the park, it seemed like that was, on that end, that edge seemed to be the more appropriate place to begin to position it. And it's much more visible out there on that corner as opposed to letting it get dropped up in the aisle where it's not quite as publicly visible.
Yeah, we'll have to put some type of security lock, something on the bathroom. That's just something that people fight.
That's going to be an attractive.
Yeah, we'll just have to fight it. That's what everyone does in all the parks. You can talk to Anatole. It's just a fight. We'll have to.
Just to flip through the rest of the images, a shelter for bikes. You notice a lot of natural materials here. I think based on feedback from the group. Something that has a much more timeless look and feel to it, both in terms of its form and materials. And then a water component that's very low scale or almost no depth, something that gives you a sense of movement, something that gives you a sense of sound perhaps, but not something you have to worry about depth and people getting injured and that sort of thing. I mentioned earlier the barking lot, a place for animals to relieve themselves in some way that can be easily cleaned and taken care of, drinking fountains that would account for animals as well, and so this becomes a zone that's friendly both for families, pets, and so forth. So that gives you a pretty fast run through here. I'm certainly happy to entertain questions that may come.
Just a comment, I think great job.
I do too.
A lot of thought was put into this. I had seen the previous three renditions before, and to have it down to this one, certainly my preferred as well. So.
They set it up for success by what they brought from day one, you know, and giving us 4 or 5. Hey, this is how it could look, and it's really what we wanted. You know, as far as the committee, and then get you guys and the public input is going to be important. But we felt like, you know, the more options we might have on the table to, you know, hey, this is what we think, now let's change it if we need to change it kind of thing. Start from one base and work from there.
Well, I think you did an excellent job.
Thank you. It was a pleasure working with
one,
you.
One last little comment. Are you providing our irrigation for the green space, or no? Was that thought of?
I don't know if we talked about that a whole lot. I mean, I guess we could put that in down.
Yeah,
the landscape piece, but...
Well, certainly a landscape piece, and, you know, based on resources, it would be much better if we can.
Yeah, so that would be good, yeah.
Try to all encompass everything we can put in it.
Yeah.
Do it right first time, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do have a capped well right there.
Yeah, you never know.
I just uncap and tap in.
Tap in and that for irrigation.
Water for
mm-hmm.
the plants, you know.
Yep. Yeah, it was fun putting this together. I just, on a personal note, when Ms. Bourgeois told us that the park that was designed in 1854, that intrigued me. I thought.
Town Square.
Yeah. However it happened that we ended up with the piece of property right close to where the town square was supposed to be in 1854 is—it's just a neat little story, I guess. And I think possibly that needs to be told in our little park.
Part of the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a big part of the story.
Yeah. So I thought that was.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So.
Good job.
We'll continue. One comment on that. Tom is working on that property with the heirs. So. You know, before we can really get rolling on that, you know, we'll have to complete that piece. But we're ready to move forward on this as soon as we can. So,
yeah, I mean, the comment about, yeah, it's preferable to do it in one phase. The problem is where you got your pavilion, your bathroom,
that's true,
and that stuff is the area.
But, right.
That we don't have.
And we don't have yet.
And we
could work on all the other stuff, mm-hmm. You know.
And we told him that, and he was aware of that when that part was not there, and the whole committee knew that, too.
You know, I'm thinking best case, 6 months from now, we have, well, the problem is it'll be another 2 or 3 months before I nail down all the errors. And even then, I've had some preliminary discussions with those I've identified, and even then with, I can't guarantee that all of them will be, I made some preliminary approaches to say, hey, the town would like you to donate this piece of property that's only good enough to park a couple, three cars on, you know, it's not worth anything. This is not the only piece that's part of...
No, the estate.
Part of the estate. The biggest part is the Batcher to the east of that. But it's all being done at the same time.
Can we go back to that map that shows 1854, so we can let people who are here see what we're talking about, please?
So...
Yeah, that, you see?
My point is, I can't guarantee that they'll all be willing to donate it to town.
There are people still living.
Some that won't be, you know... One-third of the families were rooted here 100 years ago. The other two-thirds, three-fourths moved to the New Orleans area. And that's where I'm having the, you know, difficulty tracking down people. I've got them pretty much all. There's one set of heirs that had a will that left it not to descendants, but to second family, wife and stepkids, and so I'm having to go back in and dig that out.
So where that triangle is, all that square, those people lost that land with the levy reinforcement thing. And Jolie family owned a big chunk of that block that was closer to the river. So those descendants have all the Batcher rights, but they're spread out all over the United States. Like he said, the name Jolie has not been in Brule since the 1930s or 40s, because the original family members left when the land was gone. So that's where he is, trying to get that the triangle to come to the town.
Tom, if there's some that you can't reach, is there a process by which we can go forward?
I am nailing down the last three or four. I've just got to go in. I've nailed down everybody who has inherited by intestate succession. Got to do small succession affidavits on a number of them to do that. There's one of the original heirs who had one child, didn't leave it to the child, left it to second wife, who I'm told, I'm in the process of getting certified copies from the clerk of court, that she left it to her children, in other words, stepchildren. So,
but in all of this, if there's somebody that's gone or you can't locate, that doesn't hold up the process.
No, I've pretty much identified everybody except for this one line.
Okay.
My point is, of the ones I've identified, I can't guarantee that all will be willing to donate. Some of them may be looking for reiteration.
Understood.
Will there be any medical facilities in that area? Okay, somebody was having an accident.
We didn't account for that, no. We didn't think about that. I mean, they'll have handicap parking and things like that, and it'll all be...
Fall and get hurt, so...
Yeah, we could put a machine, a defibrillator type of thing, but no, we don't have any.
We don't have liability insurance.
That's the closest you can get. So we'll continue to work on that property. We'll talk and see if you guys are okay with it. We'll try to go forward with this as soon as we can if we get the property.
I think it looks good.
I'll be in touch with you on if we could start something prior to the property or however we decide to work that. So
thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, you did a great job, and it's a pleasure working with you group. So we appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Uh huh.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Public Works Committee update. Total rainfall, we had 6 events for 7.3 inches, no drainage issues, several skate alarms due to a faulty 3-phase sensor been repaired. Owen and White has our street overlay project. They're working on getting the bid process going. Anita Street water line install is complete, so they've made it through the retention, detention pond, whichever one it is. They're going to resurface that street, and then the parish is going to come back and resurface the entire street once it's all completed back. They installed 2 24-inch drainage pipes underneath Anita Street. No personnel incidents to report. No out-of-compliance tests in the sewer treatment facility. Republic bulk pickup is this week, March 9th, and extra pickup will be March 27th. And that's about all I have for public work. Next, planning and zoning. Mr. Bradford. Consider final plat show and survey and 2 minor subdivisions of lots 1 and 2 of the partition of Adonis Thibodeau Ayers property, a 25.233-acre tract of land in lots 23 and 23A into lots 22A1, OD1, OD2, OD3, and OD4. Located in Section 56, T7S, R12E, Southeast Land District, west of Mississippi River, Town of Brule, Parish of West Baton Rouge, State of Louisiana, for Oscar Denham, 153 North of Bow Road, Brule, Louisiana.
Okay, how y'all doing? Last week we had talked about, and it's hard to see up here, but this is where we added the note about the what it says is any construction activities within a dedicated servitude will need a variance from the town of Brule. This includes culverts, fences, etc. Yeah, it's we put it in with this note. This is we put it in with the same note that.
See it on there?
Yeah.
If you just real quick for everybody, just
read it. Go back.
Talk us through what.
Okay.
You're
doing. So this is the this is at 153 LeBeau Street, and what Mr. Denham's doing is this is LeBeau Street right here, and he owns from LeBeau all the way to the back. This is the back road at the very end, back at the end. And it's 2 existing lots today, and what he's going to do is he's cutting off 2.88 acres that he's going to make where the house is at today, and he's going to maintain that. And then what he's doing is the plan is to sell off basically from this point all the way back here.
To adjoining landowners,
either owners that are on Irene or Live Oak, which is right here. This map does include 2 of the sales, which is this piece right here, which is to Billy Touye. He's buying it and he's adding it on to his existing lot because he doesn't have a servitude of access, so he has to add it on to this lot. Now, there's a lot right here that fronts Eileen, but he's adding it to this lot that's right behind it. So this is a new lot that we're creating that has this piece that he's adding on to it. The other piece that's going to get sold here is this piece here from right here to right here, and that's going to get sold to Mr. Lamana, who lives actually right here, but he doesn't have to add that to his lot because there is a servitude of access coming off of Live Oak that gets him to that lot. But what you do see down here in this, we do include a note stating that if there's any development that needs to take place on this lot or any of these other lots here and here, that the road improvements to meet the town requirements have to be met. So basically, we call it out right here that these are not constructible sites until that's met. So what's that going to leave is, after this is done, that will actually leave Mr. Denham with this piece back here. And then there's a small piece from here to here that he'll be left with. The plan is that we will be back here very shortly to sell all of this piece, which is going to be added to either the folks on this side or on this side. They're working out the details right now. I think there's 8 folks, from what I was told, that's going to buy it, and it'll include this entire tract.
Will there be a combination? In other words, some folks to the north, some folks to the south?
I'm assuming that, okay. Yeah. So what we would do is, it's just like if it is on the south, we'll do the same thing. We'll take it and add it onto their lot, whatever they're buying.
But it will all, for the whole...
Yes, site, they have to, so they can't landlock it.
Or will it all be...
Yep, it's all or nothing, because they can't landlock the property.
And this is important, that ditch back there, that's what this little box covers.
Yeah, and that's why we put the fences and everything. We figured it was better that they come talk to y'all before they do anything.
Yep, that's crucial.
And our plan, Mayor, is still to make improvements on that before this is complete, I guess?
Yes.
Just to dig that to grade or whatever repairs?
Yep.
Do we have money on the budget to do this fiscal year?
Yes, we should put that extra money in the budget for Franklin. And that's just a matter of renting the proper equipment, getting out there and... Shouldn't take...
That big ditch, as Shane said, there's one culvert on that whole length, which we need to look at and see if we need to either enlarge it or get it pulled out.
Yeah.
Because
that's the one he was talking about. They allow the cows to go back and forth across it.
No, I don't think it's used. It's grown up, but there's a culvert in there. I don't think it's... Yeah. They use it for access anymore, I don't believe.
Okay, we'll look into that when we start digging it out.
But that water that goes down that ditch is massive.
Yep.
And there's also some cut across dishes from live oak that angle across to hit the that ditch. So it's mandatory that we don't take away any volume anywhere along that ditch, or it's going back across on the back lots of currently on the north side of Live Oak. So,
yeah, it's my opinion we don't put culverts in any of those ditches.
Read your statement again in regards to
any construction activities within a dedicated servitude will need a variance from the town of Brule. This includes culverts, fences, etc.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a huge channel for drainage for us. All right. Any other questions? All right. Do I have a motion to accept this plat showing this two subdivisions?
I move.
Moved by Mr. Niesler.
Second.
Second by Mr. Daigle. Any comments from the audience? Any comments from the council? We don't need roll call, huh? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you, sir.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you.
You're not expending any money, are you?
The money's in the budget, but yeah, it's just a concept. We can...
You'll do contracts.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll come before.
Right. Now, we can pay them for, you know, we have approved them as a... So we can pay them whenever we get their bill. But as we move forward, we can come to council.
You already had for the planning in the budget.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have construction, too.
Right.
We have everything in the budget. So, we'll update it as we go, as we get closer to signing contracts and going out for bid and all that. So, Finance Committee, we had budget to actual in your packet. Have any questions? We can help you with that. I think it looks okay. Next topic is consider Lamatt's contract. We discussed this a bit at the committee meeting. Some of you asked for some information. I got a little bit of information to you guys about other municipalities. It looks like a lot of people are using it. It's a way for us to stop a lot of busy work in the office, as well as a possible way to increase the amount that we get. Shane asked a question earlier in the week, just to me personally, about did we do this before? We did before, according to Patricia, prior to me and Blaine and all of us here. We used Lamatt's to collect some delinquency stuff, delinquent companies. I have no idea. She said it didn't work out, so we just started doing it on our own again. And Blaine, I don't know if you talked to Patricia again on, so that's pretty much what she told us about that. We get most of this money comes in January through March. So I'm not sure if they could jump on it, you know, next month if we sign the contract. You know, we could add it then and see what happens. It's a lot of companies. I got a list today.
How have they been doing it? Do they have a spreadsheet in the office? Do they just use this?
Well, we really don't go out and collect that. The insurance commission sends a list, and then historically, Patricia said that she goes and checks November to see who we have that hasn't paid. But there's no real collection per se, and follow up, if you will. The checks come in. I came in the other day, last week. We probably had 30 checks on the desk. Some of them for $10. It just depends on how they get billed. Each one of those we have to deposit, fill out a certificate, and mail those certificates out. Probably totals between $300 and $500 for mailing. We haven't put hours on it to see how many hours it takes us to do it in the office. But it is busy work, and it's shuffling a lot of paper that we could get rid of. So
we can try it.
Yeah, and it's year to year, and you know, we could bail out it. I don't think it said 90 days before the end of the year or something like that. Yeah, 90 days prior to December 31st, you just notify them and then it goes away. So
I'm just thinking this is going to be an atypical year for the United. Now, give it 2 years and see.
How about we just start in January next year and let it run for a year? If the bulk is already done.
I don't know. Blaine, would you say bulk is done? I think we get most of it January through March.
What we would benefit from is the ones that don't pay this year.
Yeah, if they could follow up. Yeah.
So regardless of what we use, the ones that pay, it don't matter what we use because they pay.
Right, right. No, it's just...
It's 3% of the gross or whatever they take in?
That's correct.
So what we've already received will not be...
Right.
Part of that for
Yeah, it's only what they collect.
So, I mean, if you're going to wind up, if you sign it now, you're going to wind up be hitting ones that you wouldn't have already gotten. So you're not losing anything by signing it.
Well, they don't know that. If you contact them, they may pay.
So, right.
Yeah, but if you don't know who they are,
well, if you contact the people who generate that list, you get the list.
Yeah, we can get the list of who paid and who didn't. The issue is the time it takes to go out and collect a $10 check, right? Do you call, get a promise to pay? Does it take 2 weeks? Do you follow up in 2 weeks? This company would do that for us at 3%. And I understand it may cost us some money. I just think, you know, it's a lot of busy work that goes on in the town hall. So either way, we're going to get the money the way we've been doing it. It's, you know, so I'd suggest we go with it, but if y'all want to wait till next year or see how it goes, I mean, it's up to the council.
Well, we have some basis to judge this if we decide to go forward. What was collected last year, you know, were they effective? Were they not effective? Right now, I guess there's a lot of speculation on whether they'll get some, and we presume they will. But will we have anything to go back and kind of do a gap analysis on it and say, well, we collected this much, and last year it was only this, and so it's worth it.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Other than just a total number, I don't know if we can identify and drive it down because we don't keep a log of who pays. I mean,
so we don't know who paid last year?
You don't know, but you know a quantity, though, right?
Yeah, we do have a total. I mean, we could probably drive down to get a total amount that was paid.
We got to get some more knowns, in my opinion. Than unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
We're not answering any questions straight.
Well, it would take a lot of pushing paper in the office away. But I mean, if you guys want to wait, we can wait. I think it's a good thing. I think I sent you guys the list of towns that are on it. Some towns have been on it for a long time. Maybe they don't even know. I don't know.
There was a good many small towns that probably don't have a base office staff. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's up to you guys if you want to wait. If not, I would need your approval to sign the agreement to send it to Lamaze to get this thing rolling. But we can wait if you want to the end of the year, wait till next year. I want to give it a shot and just see if it helps. Bottom line is we could total up what we got last year, total up what we got this year. It's going to be in the middle of a year, so it may not be a perfect number for you, but at least we could see the totals, what it costs versus what we would. I guess we could put some hours on it, on how much time we spend on it. $300 to $500 in postage. I know that for a fact.
Yes, I'm not necessarily opposed to doing it. I think, I guess, if we're getting it mid-cycle, so to speak,
yeah,
then the sum should be a lot less. And if we can at least measure that over what we collected last year, we can see if there's been an improvement, and then look at that for 2021.
Yep.
That's just my thoughts, but we did at least do some benchmarking, and that'd be the only municipality looking for this, you know.
Well, after 6 months, would we be able to tell who paid in the last 6 months from
January?
Yeah. Who paid this year that didn't pay us last year? Because they're collecting it?
Should be able to tell that.
I mean, do we have a record that show who the checks came from last year? You think so?
Well, I mean, we have a list that Patricia pulls. We don't get a check and go to that list and check it off, right? So then you pull a list after June, and the people that paid are off the list, and it gradually works down, and it shows us who's not on the list. So, no, to answer your question, we don't go to the list and check it off. But as you pull the list, right, Lane? As you pull the list, those people disappear. So by November, you may only have 50 people on there that you have, or businesses you have to collect from. So I guess we could back into it that kind of way and figure out who paid and who didn't this year versus last year.
And they're not all averaging this $10.
No, I mean, they're all over the board.
Okay.
Is this a calendar year thing from January to December? Well, why don't we continue to do it until December of this year? Then we know what our revenues were, and you say you think we can go back and say where that revenue came from,
yeah,
on an individual insurance company, then we have that total, then we'll give them a shot next year, and then you got something comparing apples to apples.
Yep. We can definitely do that. Not to mention, if we can do this, we can sign it in December and crank off in January, so everybody's kind of familiar with what goes on. We can give you a number in December on what the money we got.
And we can compare it. What do you think about that?
All right, well, if you guys are good with that, then we will not sign that contract. And is that what I'm getting? We'll wait till the end of the year.
Motion. If somebody makes a motion, somebody seconds it, and we vote yes, then you do it. If we don't vote yes, and we vote no, then you don't do it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or it just dies.
Yeah,
lack of motion.
Can you push it back?
Or
even?
You can just say, hey, let's just do it next year, and don't even bring it up for a motion. It's a pleasure of the council.
Let's get it going. Yeah, so I would like to see, rather than making the decision tonight, does it penalize us to wait another month? Does it push us back that much? Is it something that maybe just, we can try to get data as well?
It's just, it'll be just 1 month that they're not doing it, and we're still doing it the old way. That's the only, and we could possibly get some data by then.
That's what we can do. That. Get the list from last year. I paid so far. Give us a report. That's what we want.
That's just my opinion. I'm not opposed to trying it, but it's, you know, I'd like to see that we're definitely going to have some benefits. So.
Okay. Well. So you want to make a motion that we table it till next month?
Then he said we just don't do it and what about another time in the meeting.
down, do we have to make a motion to table it, or can we just carry it over to next month?
If you don't make a motion, you can put it on the agenda for next month.
Okay, that's fine.
You've just asked them to consider the contract. There's, it's not an ordinance, it's not a resolution or anything else.
All right, we'll go old school.
They're considering it.
We'll go old school. Do we have a motion to consider giving me the authority to sign a LaMatch contract? No motion? All right, we'll move forward. So we'll see about getting some information and getting that on the next bring it to committee, hopefully. All right, on the personnel, I don't have anything. Police committee, I don't think we have anything. Governmental affairs committee. Tree City report, you want me to read this little letter from Tree City? This is all, Ms. Bourgeois needs credit for all this. She does a good job with this, so I'll read this. Brule, Louisiana was named a 2019 Tree City USA by the Arbor Day Foundation in honor of its commitment to effective urban forest management. Brule achieved Tree City USA recognition by meeting the program's four requirements: tree board a department, a tree care ordinance, and an annual community forestry budget of at least $2 per capita, and an Arbor Day observance and proclamation. You want me to finish, read the whole thing? Yep, and so that's just notifying us that we are an official Tree City. We will get a new flag, like Shane said, it's coming in soon. And we will plant another tree this year. So if you guys have any ideas where we can plant a tree on our property somewhere, Ms. B had a good idea. If we can get DOTD to allow us to put a small tree over by the sign on the way in, side of the road. I don't know if they'll allow us to do that, but we might try that. But anyway, if you have any other ideas on some parks and stuff that we can
plant. Hopefully in the future we'll have a place to plant a tree.
Yep, I don't want to, like she said, but I'd hate to go stick a tree in the middle of there and we start construction and dig it up, right?
That'd be post-construction. They celebrate.
Yeah, so
next year for that.
So we'll wait till next
year. When the new high school finishes.
Right. Yeah, we can maybe put it up. Yeah.
You could start a grove over there.
Yeah, we can maybe see about doing that.
We have a budget until the end of June to use this year. And this is our 15th.
It may work out. It may work out. We can talk to Wes and see, because they're running a little ahead of schedule on the school, so. So thanks for that, Ms. B. That's great for the town.
Yeah, Patricia does the paperwork on this to file a report, so thank you.
All right, consideration of vetoed ordinances. I'm not aware. Hearing and final action, we don't have any. Introduction of ordinances. I don't think we have anything unless somebody has something. No resolutions. Police department report.
Officer Jason.
All right. Brule Police Department monthly report for February. We had 6 alarms, 1 suspicious person. We had 1 possession of stolen things, 2 unlocks. We had 4 miscellaneous complaints, 5 disturbances. One time we assisted other agencies, 14 no insurance tows. We had 8 crash reports done, 15 truancy investigations. We had 1 criminal damage to property, 2 missing persons which were located, 1 battery, 1 theft, which was with a bank card, 1 burglary, West Side Apartments, which was solved, made an arrest. We had 4 medicals, 2 physical inspections were done, 1 warrant arrest, 1 public assist, and 2 forgeries. The forgeries were doctor's notes at the high school. We had 73 total complaints, 332 total citations, and 411 total violations. Questions,
kids,
concerns?
Kids forging an excuse from a doctor.
Yes, ma'am.
So.
All right. Very high tech.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, truancy.
All right, on the mayor's report, we had a census meeting this past week. I can't stress enough to everyone how important the census is to us, from our sales tax income. So any ideas that you have, if you have volunteers that want to help, we need volunteers in neighborhoods that might know somebody that might not be home, that the census skipped their house, so we'll take any volunteers that we can get. The census people will use the town hall when they show up. I think March 24th is what you told me. They'll start in here, be in here 9 to 5. So we'll be heavily involved with them in making sure all of our homes get counted, so, and people.
Are we not getting it in the mail anymore?
Yes, you'll get it in the mail, and it'll have a link to go online, right, Blaine? Or you can call and get something sent to you, like a long form or something like that, isn't that correct?
Yeah, hopefully everybody just does it online.
Yeah, online's the way to go, so please talk it up.
That's like
teeth. Yeah, we're gonna try to get advertisements out. We'll definitely use our webpage. So please talk it up if you get a chance about anybody that might be interested in helping, as well as filling out the forms.
Put on that next door, right?
Yeah. The Brule basketball team won the other night, Thursday at 2:45. They play Bossier in, it is Bossier, right? In Lake Charles. When I went to the game, I bumped into Mayor Vedrine, who is a mayor from Ville Platte. And we had a bet that if Brule won, I'd have to wear a purple to my meeting. And I mean, if Brule lost, and if Brule, if Ville Platte lost, and however it works, I would have to wear purple to my meeting, and she would have to wear red to her meeting. So,
send you a picture with that shirt?
I might go buy her a shirt and send it to her with Brule across it and make her send me a picture, and I'll have it posted up whenever she wears it.
Alan also made it to the top 48 or whatever they call it now. So, that might be the first time in history that both high schools in the parish made a semifinals in basketball the same year.
Yep. Now, I think they play Wednesday. I could be, or maybe Tuesday. I'm not sure.
2:45 Tuesday, isn't it?
Port Allen?
No, us.
No, Thursday.
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
I think they're Tuesday.
So anyway, that was a good night, and it was fun. It was fun betting with Mayor Vedrine. She's a lot of fun, and she does a lot of work with LMA.
A lot of people in the gym, like.
Gym was full to the top.
Was fire marshal there?
Yeah, it was fun.
Big construction go up.
Last week, Shane and I were riding around town. It was about 3 o'clock. We were going to look at some ditches by the school. Traffic was so bad, I took a picture and talked to Wes. So Wes and I and Jonathan are going to plan to meet sometime soon with the new school opening next year about traffic. So that's going to be a huge ordeal.
Talking traffic, what can we do to petition the state and make them tell us no if you put a red light at the end of Main and Railroad? Would it curve?
You talking about over here? Yeah, we can try, but you know, last time I was told there won't be any stoplights on the River Road. But we can try again.
Make them tell us.
Yeah, we can do that.
Repeat it.
Yep.
Chris Knox is up there.
Yep. I might make a call to Chris and just see if he can.
Tell you the same thing.
Yep. Make them 18-wheelers get on the highway.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. So anyway, we're all looking at the traffic situation. It's going to rear its ugly head soon. And last, last on my mayor's list report, coronavirus. Wash your hands is all I can tell you. We Homeland Security had a meeting the other day, and what you see on the news is what came out. Wednesday, there's another meeting. I'm gonna try to dial in Wednesday just to see if there's something crazy. So, as far as I know, we don't have any cases except that one presumptive case in New Orleans. We'll see, but I am involved with a little bit of that. Not that I'm freaking out about it, but we need to be involved in case.
If you can't,
and it's a call-in. It's a call-in, so I'll be able to call in. So, with that, remarks of personal privilege. Yes, sir.
People with St. Cloud digging up what they're on the Tonton Canal.
They're supposed to be way in the back, starting as far back in the back and coming back this way.
It was an excavator. We took it back just recently.
So I don't know the status of where they started on it, but I know for sure they're going to dig, starting back, coming back, and dump all that stuff in those crawfish ponds in the back. That's what I was told.
Starting to fill them in there.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to turn that into like a wetlands
mitigation
bank, and they got to bring it back to somewhat what it was before and plant X amount of trees.
And so they allow them to dig that tauntaun and put that dirt there. So hopefully that tauntaun will get wider at, you know, further down. So. I don't know the status, though. I'll try to find out.
They're coming all the way up the highway?
They're supposed to. Yep. Clean it all the way out. Anybody else? Announcements. The census count, as we talked, will begin in the next few days, so keep an eye out. And it's really crucial. I'd love to get over 3,100 or 200 people. Right now, they say we have 2,933 in town, so it'd be great if we could add that amount. get our sales tax revenue up, so. And with that, do I have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Mr. Andre, second by Mr. Richard. All in favor? All opposed? Ayes have it.
Next month, Jason. Next month. I bet they wouldn't let us put a crosswalk.
A main, I mean, a river road?
Simple.
You say, well, no red lights, and so you got the full intersection, so that's the two. They hired.
You want me to tell you a crazy, you want to tell you what crazy rumor I heard? They're about to overlay the LA one.
Oh, my.
Southbound. I know, that's coming. And